what's so great about the podcast that really digs its teeth in and tries to figure out what makes a particular topic great. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
How have you been?
Good. I've been good, Terry. And you?
I've also been good.
Good to hear.
You know what? I lied to you just now.
Yeah, go on.
I've been better.
Ooh, do dish.
Do me back in.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
No.
I've been exercising, Andy. Doing some home.
You've been impressing me, Terry.
Yeah. I started doing some home exercises. Sans weights, even. You know, it's one of these ones.
Free form.
Yes, yes. And I realize I'm old.
Yeah, just realized that.
Yeah, like I realize that I can't do what the very fit and flexible girl on the YouTube video is able to do. Pretty fit. She's able, and yet I still try and do this exercise the same as her.
Well, you're not as limber.
Certainly am not. And I'd done a few of that, and I was like, these are pretty good. Like, you know, they were kind of basic calisthenics, and you know.
Now, what are calisthenics?
You know, it's just like touch your toes or jumping jacks. All that stuff, right?
Okay, yeah.
So you're not weights.
Yeah.
Or you're using your body as your weight, that kind of stuff. And then this one, it was like for people who get bored easily. I'm like, okay, yeah. And it's like, there's literally, yeah, that's me. What? but it was literally, there's no repeat. Normally it's like, we're going to do two sets of this, two sets of that, whatever. This was like a different set every time. 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off.
Right.
And they did a bunch of squats.
Yeah.
And my technique for squats has always been questionable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I loved squats in the gym now.
Yeah. I'm bad
weights
at them.
Weights and all.
Bad at them. So Monday I was feeling a bit of a twinge. And then yesterday it was like, I couldn't even put Gus down for his nap properly. I was like trying to put
that far reach
down. I was like, it's like
drops.
Kind of. It's like, how low is low enough?
G-man.
I was like able to get him down and just like let him like thump. Normally I put him all the way down. It's like maybe like that much. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
hey, Pa, what the fuck?
Just gave me a look.
I find with squats that it's my knee that's the problem. My knee hurts.
My sciatica, Andy.
It's so old.
It's gone going down my legs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I did have, like, weird arm pain. That seems to have gone. I'm just old. Like, I don't know.
Comes and goes.
I don't know. We bought an Emma mattress, right? Which is, you know, those.
I don't even know because you told me.
Firm. What would you call them?
How is the mattress working out?
We're sending it back. We're taking advantage of their, like, if you don't like it within the first 300 days, you can send it back. And the reason why we're sending it back is...
Yeah, why don't you like it?
Don't like the mattress. We're both in bits from it, like...
What, is it too hard?
I don't know if it's the memory foam or what it is, but it's not comfortable for us anymore.
Right.
Like Faye had been complaining. I was like, that's okay. I don't feel any of it. And then, like, I normally sleep on my right side. Yeah. And, like, that's... I was getting, like, weird arm pain. That as if, like, somebody had been punching me in the middle of the night.
It's probably Faye.
She's on the other side of the bed. If it was my left arm, then I could understand it. But so we're sending it back, and the bed itself is like, it was super easy to assemble. We were like, this is a dream bed.
Yeah.
Like none of this like fucking slats that take you five hours. Yeah. This was like,
yeah.
But now every time you move it, it's like, it's like a fucking transformer going off upstairs.
Oh my God. I'm actually delighted to hear that because my bed is also a piece of shit, Terry.
Yeah? And what'd you pay for? No, don't tell me.
I can't actually remember.
Where'd you get it? I'm in the market for a new bed now, like, essentially.
I think I ordered it from, like, Argos or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not, like, a bed specialist place or anything like that. And it shows, because... Now, the mattress is fine. The mattress is just, like, a normal mattress.
Where'd you get your mattress?
Can't remember.
Fucking useless. I am here, on my knees, begging you.
But the bed, oh my God. This bed, every time we move, you know what I mean? It's like when I get out, like I've got this is so desperate. I've got my complete collection of Calvin and Hobbes propping up one bit of wood that snapped. So when I sit on the end of the bed, as men do before they get up, they sit and contemplate life for a second and then get up. So when I do that, so that doesn't snap. I've got side lats, but then there's one long down the middle. That's come out at the end. That's been held up by a Pringles can. I mean, please.
And, please don't tell anyone how I live.
So
you wouldn't know. You invest in a new bed.
When you, I 100% need a new bed. It's fine, but it just, it's creaking and cracking.
They're expensive. Beds are fucking expensive.
I mean, if I had it, well, I'm not even going to.
No, but like it's like who has €1,000 just hanging around? Like, you know what I mean? These days. So like we have our old mattress, and we got a nice bed as given to us from somebody who like moved to France.
Yeah.
So that's like in the spare room now. It's queen sized. So we'd be going from a super king back to a queen.
Ooh, you can't go back.
Yeah, for a limited period of time. And then once we get the old Emma replaced and they give us back our money, we go invest it in there.
How do you find, what's the one, the super what?
Super king? Super king is great for the size.
Yeah, we have
little visitor come into us bi-nightly.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
is that twice a night or every 2 nights?
Every 2 nights.
Okay.
Yeah. Every 2 nights.
Sorry, it's doable.
It can be both, actually. Funny enough. Well, actually.
Now that you mention it.
Yes. But sometimes it's like, she'd be in the middle of us grand. And then like, other times I'll wake up and like, the two of them will be asleep on like, one quarter of the bed over face. Like, now I've had three quarters to myself. But I only have used like, not even half of it. Like, it's huge.
That's actually great. Yeah. I find like.
Takes up most of the room though.
Yeah, but then what else are you going to do in there? You know,
right, I can't have a cabinet beside my bed because the bed is so big.
I don't like that, and I'm the same on my side. I it also takes up a lot of my room, and I don't have a cabinet. Kerry's got a cabinet, so I got to put my shit on the floor right beside.
Yeah,
it.
Or like, you know, the bed has a little like where the mattress is. There's a little like wood frame there, so I like put my phone plugged in there, my watch. There, but there's no way to live.
No, it isn't, Terry. No. Yeah, I was woken up like Tony just got into the bed. And I didn't even wake up. I just woke up to her tapping me on the shoulder. Being like,
when was this?
I'm going to go back to my bed now. I was like, huh? Okay. Like,
when was this? Just recently? Or
yeah, like earlier in the week. Yeah. I think she had a bad dream or something. But like, I didn't. Normally, like, she bugs me.
Sometimes, like, well, that happened recently where it was like, I was like vaguely aware of what was going on. And like, Bonnie had brought her teddies in and was like playing with her teds. And I could hear Faye being like, no, it's like in the middle of the night. Like, if you want to play with Ted's, go into your room or like go to sleep. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, ma'am, no. I need space, ma'am, for my toys. And then, like, I woke up. I was like, what? And then she's like, now your dad's awake now. And I'm like, come on, we're going into the other bed.
Isn't that nice, though, to get the whole, like, for you to be the one who's like, your father's awake now. Yeah. And I wait till your father hears about
this.
Now
you've done it.
Yeah. I love it. But hey, I was watching something, Terry. Can I talk to you about it?
Please.
Have you watched any of the Beckham documentary?
I have not.
Now, can I ask you even before I continue? Yeah. What's your take on Beckham? Where do you stand?
I love them. You know, he was a great part of my childhood. David Beckham playing for Man United.
Yeah.
Didn't really like him at the time.
Did you not?
As I grew older.
He was a bit too much of a pretty boy.
I was just a bit of a circus going on, you know? I was more of a Roy Keensman.
Oh, of course.
You know, just
PFM.
That's your job, you know.
Proper football man.
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah,
yeah, okay. when you first said to me, I couldn't stop laughing. You said it so casually, like everyone knew. He's like, you know, like he's a PFM, a proper football man. And I was like, I was like, what? I thought it was one of those like in Seinfeld where it's like, yeah, she's a BL, a beautiful lines woman. So I thought it was something that you just made up on the spot.
I was kind of saying it like that though, like, you know, because, you know, like, I don't know if you ever see those clips online where it's like, you know, it's gone against us. Something like that. It's like, shows a clip of like
Brian's
50
gone.
People. Yeah, yeah, Brian's so gone. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like they have one of that, like, he's a proper football man, you know?
Brilliant.
But
the documentary's really good.
I have seen like 3 documentaries on him though, you know, all around, because he's had such a like storied career. Like, I don't even know if it was a Panorama one or like they did one for Channel 4, like post World Cup, what the effect on the media had too.
Yeah.
And I always remember like his dad being like, and David's rung me up and he's like, he's in tears.
Yeah.
And he said, Dad, he's like, they're after getting pictures of me in a sarong. And I said, oh, yeah, David,
yeah, yeah.
You know? So, like, I've seen enough of
okay.
him. But Some of the clips I saw, I was quite intrigued by.
You know what? It was very well made, and a lot of the time...
Is it necessary, though? Like, why?
Well, I hadn't seen it, and I'm wondering why it is out, or why it got made.
What I would like to see a documentary on is... I don't know if it's about, like, if this is in it, like, his US adventure.
Yeah, that was part of it. It was, like...
But I want to know, like, the dealings of, like, how you get a franchise.
Oh, like the Inter-Miami stuff?
Yeah, like,
yeah, apparently... It didn't really... He didn't go into detail. That's
apparently
kind
got
of
it for, like,
$5 million.
That's the deal. If you become, like, the ambassador...
It was, like, part of his... I think... I heard it was, like, part of his original LA contract. Galaxy
and
contract.
And that's what they've done with Messi.
Yeah.
So, like, Messi is going to have his own franchise in the States, in, like, the Oklahoma Argentinians.
It's like, but in this one, it was kind of like, it's funny in the sense that, like, the interviewer is kind of a
Martin
little
Bashir?
No. Something Fisher or something? I don't know. But it was very.
It was close.
He'd kind of, like, be like, you hear him off camera, like, come on, though, did that really happen? Or, you know, like, a little bit like that. Or it'd be kind of like, Beckham's like, no, I definitely don't think I changed, you know, when he started to get famous and all this.
The picture of him.
And other people are like, no, I don't think so. And then Ferguson's like, oh, he definitely changed.
When he was gone. Like, you know, the whole thing with Fergie is like, if you're too big for the club, you're gone. Like, and he definitely was becoming too big for the club. Like,
but I thought it was lovely when, I didn't realize how bad it was for him after that 98
the
World Cup.
That's the, like, documentary I've seen where it's just like, you're like, holy fuck, like, death, like, threats.
I mean, it seemed so bad for, like, a year. And then it was nice because Fergie was like, you know, he called him up and he's like, just go on your holiday, come back, we'll look after you. And then it was nice to see, like, sort of, like, Keane being like, you mess with him, you mess with all of us. And there was shots of, like, you know, when Beckham getting, like, crunch and tackle on him. And everyone's like, yeah. And then Keane would be grabbing him and all and shoving him.
And
obviously I don't like United, but, like, there was a lot of parts of it where I was like, I'm really enjoying this United story. Or,
there's something about that era of Man United that is romantic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's like...
Treble and
this is what
stuff.
No, but yeah, whatever, but the winning and all. But, like, this is what a football club should be. They have... like a manager in every sense of the world who would, like, look after all the players. Like, they had a captain who, like, bit of a, he's, look, as a human being or as a person, I don't know if I get on with Roy Keane, but if I was playing on the same team as him, there's nobody else I would want to look after me. Like,
yeah,
you know what
true,
I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, that, like, for somebody who has been around, like, lower level Saturday League football, it's like, that is the kind of stuff you want
around your team.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, there's guys that I, like, you would talk to them, like, he's a fucking arsehole, like, played on the team. And then, it's like, but he do anything for you, because you're part of the club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, where it's like, you're like, oh, you hate that guy. Like, I don't want to talk to him outside, go for a beer with him.
Yeah, but so glad he's
my
teammate.
On Saturday, like you say, you mess with us, I go, you know, I'll stick it up to you. Whatever, you're fucking dead.
But yeah, like, I would recommend it. Like, it was very, it was good. Like,
four parts.
Yeah,
an hour long.
Yeah, something a bit longer than an hour.
Typical Netflix, like, squeeze it dry.
I felt like it could have been three parts, you know,
45 minutes
maybe.
Each.
Yeah. You know, it was a bit unnecessary. But I have to say, and I remember, I have a very vivid memory of, like, when he scored that
halfway line.
I remember,
Neil,
like,
Sullivan.
That was almost like when I, like, kind of, like, woke up to football, if you know what I mean. Like, I was a Liverpool fan before that. I remember watching the FA Cup final in Jordo's house the year before, Liverpool United, that shit final.
Great final. what technique by Cantona.
Oh, it still kills me that it got through all those players.
But, like, he's going backwards. How can he do his leg like that? It's like a,
stupid.
Like an action figure or something. You pull back and then let go. And it's like, bring.
And there's all wrestling figures.
Yeah,
like this
exactly.
But I always just remember that halfway line is like, that was the start of, like, football being, like, what we all talked about all the time.
But,
you know?
It was 96.
Yeah.
Think about when else it got in 96. Like, Oasis, Blur, Britpop, Spice Girls. It's an explosion going on.
Yeah.
Right across the way. We were, like, 8 and 9 years old. Your mind is just...
Well, we were...
10, sorry, yeah. 10, 11, yeah. So, like, even more, like, you're susceptible to everything that's going on.
Pop culture. And all
exactly. That. Like, you know, it was an explosion.
I vividly remember being like, I doubt you were the same actually, but when I was like 12, 13, I had, like, I always got like Smash Hits, mm-hmm. Top of the Pops magazine.
Never got those. Score, I used to get. Match.
Yeah, I'd get them too, but I also loved the music one. And I would just, they'd have these big like 16 page poster that you'd open up. And I'd be like, I'm like Spice Girls or whatever. I had Spice Girls posters on my wall when I was a kid. Mixed with football. But like, I at one stage, I had one entire wall just covered in like Smash Hits and Score and like Liverpool and like that sort of, so it was very much like
mosaic
Oasis and all that. Yeah, like it was all that sort of stuff.
God, what a time, huh?
It just brought back, I mean, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
All right, this is very much on the spot, but what do you think was the best year
of my life?
Of your, and not necessarily like your age, but just the best year, like 19 something or 2000 something.
Interesting.
You know? Or in terms of like what you remember nostalgia wise of the world around then, you know?
Kind of like.
Were you around that?
Like, between like 98, 2002, around that time where, you know, you know, you're a teenager and, like you say, all these new things are like flooding in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 12 is 98. I would have been 12. 2002, 16.
Yeah.
2002, World Cup's going on. I'm drinking a bit, like, you know. You're discovering things, you know.
Say no more.
I will. Leave it there. But yeah, I'd be kind of similar. Like, you know, that kind of era, you know what I mean? Like
it's probably because I dwell on, not dwell on them, but because I literally will watch them if it comes up on my TikTok or my Instagram. Like, so much of my content is like, here's, like, who remembers this from 1997 and all this?
And I'm return like, on the Mac once again, return on. I assume you remember Andy Cole's rap video that he had.
Yeah, I remember it being shit.
But he's dangerous though, Andy.
No, that was the problem. It was the opposite of dangerous. What's my name? Or it was something like that. I was like, what's my name? It's like, it was so meek. It was so meek.
Meanwhile, on the top end of the charts, Mark Morrison is fucking ripping it up.
Oh my God, talk about ripping it up. Yeah. What a song.
Hey, I went to the cinema last week.
What'd you see?
I got to see it on the big screen, Oppenheimer.
And?
It's fucking deadly.
Was it, yeah?
5 stars on Letterboxd. Ooh. Hey. Follow me over on Letterboxd, folks.
Follow him on Letterboxd.
Yeah, I don't know what my name is. Just type in Terry Toner.
You'll find
it. Yeah. give it 5 stars. Tell it what is great about this movie.
Please.
It's 3 hours long.
You can tell me what's great about it.
And it does not, like, let up.
You say that, though, about a lot of movies crawl.
This is like, the whole movie is basically a montage. And like a kind of, in the middle hour, they stop to do the bomb test. And then they kind of have a bit of a courtroom thing.
What's it about?
It's about J. Robert Oppenheimer.
He invented the atomic bomb?
Yes.
Right. And so, then do they drop the bomb in the movie?
You see the bomb test. You hear about the bomb. They do not show you
right.
The bomb. They show you like Oppenheimer looking at footage of the aftermath of the bomb. Right. And I'll tell you, Andy, everyone is in this movie. Name somebody.
I'm going to name somebody who's not in it.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
Tom Cruise.
Well, of course he's not in it.
Well, you said everyone.
Yeah, okay, like,
I mean, I would name 10 people before I'd name someone who's in this movie. Matt Damon. Oh, he's in it. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes.
And it's the worst.
He's so fucking good. Oh, my God.
The clip that they show, I'm sure it's better than it looks. The clip that they show.
How do we do this?
Looks like the worst bit of acting I've ever seen. And I know he's a great actor.
He's so funny.
But you know the way they clip these things? And it's like, maybe because this is the most important thing that's ever happened in the history of the world.
The hair's got my arms. Like, because
I laugh when I see it.
He's like, so fucking good. And when he says it, you're like punching the air. You're like, yes!
There's something, but they can do that though with those ads. Like,
no,
they made The Office look unfunny because of those, like, NBC this Friday.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, I'd never watch that show.
We had to relitigate 30 Rock, and you were like,
It was because of Turkey Rock. Yeah, or Turkey Rock was one as well.
So I was like, watch this show. It's hilarious. And you're like, no, I've seen the clips for it.
Good God, did you eat that whole thing? I was like, a dog ate it. I was looking at you. I'm like, seriously? Like, you were like, I'm telling you, it's funny.
Don't listen to that.
Turned out to be one of the funniest shows of all time. Exactly. Like, the ads they make. Anyway, yeah, for Oppenheimer, it did the same.
Fucking brilliant. And like, I'll tell you who's in it, right?
Yeah, go on.
Josh Hartnett.
Sold.
Fucking back, man. He's back. And good. He's brilliant.
Brilliant. Like, so glad to hear
he
that.
He plays like, so like, Oppenheimer is a theoretical physicist, and this guy is like an actual physicist. Like, he does the testing. Oppenheimer comes up with the theory. And I'm like, should it work that he is, you know, a nerdy, you're like, no, he's one of those, yeah, you'd see him. He's like a cool professor.
Yeah.
That is like a very handsome. Yeah, oh yeah. Like,
brilliant.
And he's fucking great. It's like, 5-star movie star performance. Like, it's just everything is just so easy in it.
I'm glad that he's back. Where's he been?
I think he was doing TV and stuff. Like, he was in the latest series of Black Mirror. He's fucking good.
Yeah.
He's been in a couple of Guy Ritchie.
Was he struggling or was he just choosing his roles?
I don't know. Like, he was in TV. He was doing TV stuff. Really? So, like, it, you know, I'm glad to have him back, like, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Krumholtz is in it.
Excuse me?
David Krumholtz.
Hey, Krumholtz. Oh my God.
You know
name.
Who he is.
No, who's he?
10 Things I Hate About You, not Joseph Gordon-Levitt or Heath Ledger.
I haven't seen it.
What?
I haven't seen it.
For fuck's sake.
You're never going to.
Did you ever see that episode of Eeyore?
No.
Okay.
There's no point.
Josh, of Drake and Josh is in it.
Okay, yeah. All right. Now
he gets to push the big button.
Oh, wow. How's he? Is he mad skinny still?
Yeah, he's still skinny. Got a good face, but you know.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Gary Oldman is in it, hammering it up as the president.
He does kind of hammer it up, doesn't he?
Yeah, like that fucking Churchill movie.
Mars Attacks.
Yeah. And this, he plays Truman, and he's like, but like, it works that he's so fucking hammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cillian Murphy is like, I have blood on my hands for it. He's like, nobody knows about J. Robert Oppenheimer. I dropped the bomb, not you. Oppenheimer is like, apparently in real life, he like was like in tears.
Oh, right.
And like, as he's leaving, he's like, don't let that crybaby back in here again.
I see. You know what kind of put me off is like, I've seen so many stills of Cillian Murphy of just that sort of like, look,
and
I'm like, I'm sure it's a world class performance from Cillian Murphy.
It's given Daniel Plainview in terms of the voice and everything. We need to talk like this and talk about the physics.
Right, right.
You know, I'm an oil man. I'm a physics
man.
Would
you say it's one of the best movies that you've seen in the last 10 years? Would it be in your top 5?
I don't know about that. It's still very fresh. It's one of the best movies I've seen this year.
I know. I mean,
I've seen like 80. I counted on my Letterboxd. I've seen like 80 movies this year.
Okay, hold on a sec. I'm gonna do the math on this. So you've seen, you claim to have seen
roughly
80 movies. Okay.
the hand to your head, like, the involuntary like
80, and then what are we in October? So we'll say we're at week 40.
Okay.
So you watch 2 movies a week?
If I have the time. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I think I'm low. I should be on more.
You know, I watched, obviously, Stand By Me for this episode. And I still thought it was long.
It's 89 minutes, Andy.
I know.
You watched 4 hours of David Beckham.
Zit. Fucking zit. I'd watch another 4. No problem. I don't get it. Yeah. You know?
Well, but Oppenheimer's great.
Good.
Maybe we'll do it on the podcast one of the days.
I'll tell you now. Unless you sit me down.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Glue my arse to the seat. And
unless we're doing it for the podcast. Like
Clockwork Orange style, keep my eyes open. I don't think I'll ever see it. I've no desire to see it. It's one of those, you know.
I tell you who's in it. Go on. And like,
you just did.
There's like 6 Academy Award winners in it, and they're probably on screen less than 5 minutes each.
All right, go on.
Like, Casey Affleck is in it for like 2 scenes, and I'm like, oh, what a fucking scumbag. Like it just shows like this picture of like, it's like they're talking about him as he's this mythical guy, and it shows his face and you're like, oh my god, like
Casey Affleck's great.
Yeah, but like, this is how Nolan can do this. It's like, yeah, do you want to come? We'll do like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. How many days? Yeah, 2 days? Sure, I'll come work with you.
I say they'd like to just hang around the set as well. Like,
yeah, you know? I would.
Yeah, of course.
Right, we mentioned Stand By Me. Shall we get into our review of it?
Please.
You guys want to go see a dead body? I bet you anything that if we find him, we'll get our pictures in the paper. Yeah, we can even be on TV. Sure, we'll be heroes. Yeah. Just suppose that I told the story. Do you think that anyone would have believed it?
This is really a good time.
The most. A blast.
Trailer for the 1986 film Stand By Me, directed by Rob Liner. It's Rob Reiner. Yeah. Care for some boif?
I would love some boif.
Hit me with the budget.
1986. The budget was 5.4 million.
8 million.
What about them?
Not within your 10%?
Oh yeah, AC said 10%.
AC did say 10%. Yeah. Can I guess the opening weekend?
Opening weekend, I will say 1 million.
3.8.
That's good, isn't it?
What? That it made 3.8?
Opening weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. I mean, the choice was less, I guess, in the 80s. But
yeah, like, but like...
That's a big one, isn't it?
Domestic, guess how much it made.
So the budget was what, 8?
Yeah.
20 million.
Hold on to your butts. 52 million.
Whoa. What? You got worldwide?
No. Oh. That's just America and no worldwide.
Wow.
A lot of money, right? Yeah. Yeah. Back in the 80s.
It's a chunk of change, all right.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Audience, or no.
Let's go with the critics.
Critics, 91.
92.
All right, I'll take it.
Audience?
89.
94.
Ooh, okay.
You're within your five, so I'll give you the two of them, all right?
I'm actually brilliant at this. I wish I could just harness it into some sort of like...
career.
Money-making scheme, like as if we're not doing this already. Yeah.
One Oscar nomination.
Best... Is it one of the obscure ones or what I...
It would be a big one.
Best Supporting Actor.
Ew.
Best Cinematography.
Ew.
Best Director.
Ew.
What is it?
Best Adapted Screenplay.
Oh, of course.
Based on Stephen King.
Yeah, I knew that.
Did not win. Room with a View was the winner.
I don't know what that is.
Room with a View.
Now, the book that it was adapted from, was that like a supernatural horror that was changed?
No. Why don't we get into some IF?
Oh, please.
Interesting fact.
If you will.
The film was adapted from the novella by Stephen King titled The Body, where it's pretty much the exact same thing. I find that Stephen King's best work, maybe by The Shining, are all the ones that are adapted, that are just his short stories that are regular, but regular people.
Yeah.
Like Shawshank Redemption.
Is that based off of...
Yeah.
Jeez, how many...
He's prolific. Like there, it used to be like he'd write a book a year, sometimes two. Like,
wow.
But he was also like a functioning alcoholic, so wow. He was just like writers.
Sounds great.
Yeah, what a life. I mean, that's what The Shining is all about. Like how he's trying to like get sober, like while writing and stuff. Like, you know,
he must be so rich.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, you know,
the amount of successful offshoots. I mean, just from being a successful best-selling author alone, but also the amount of adaptations.
Like, for this...
It's got to be, what, 50? At least?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
like in his career of like, Carrie was one and
Carrie,
Shining,
Firestarter, Shining, Langoliers, Dark Tower, like almost that 10 already.
Is Dark Tower supposed to be any good or is it supposed to be dog shit?
It's supposed to be the one that's like what could have been, because apparently it's like that book series. Like,
I started reading it.
Yeah, everybody loves it. Like, yeah. Apparently the opening passage is like, you are hooked immediately.
I was hooked. So I was a bit confused.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but it's spread over like different series of his books.
It's like 12 books or something. Yeah. Or I don't
but
know.
It, like also like the character of the Man in Black pops up in different books.
Right, right.
Under a different name and all this stuff. Like, oh, okay. It's a whole
a
labyrinth
Easter eggs
thing.
Going on.
But for this, he was paid $100,000 for the rights and 10% of the gross.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's a cool $5 million there.
Wow.
You know?
Brilliant.
Yeah, not bad.
It's pretty good.
Not for like a book.
Especially in 1986.
Yeah, and a book he probably wrote, took him like 2 weeks
tossed
to write.
Off.
Like, yeah. There's a novella, yeah. Okay. Rob Reiner signed on to direct in September 1984, and his first response upon reading the script was that it had no focus, but lots of promise. So he decided to make Gordy the central focus, and, you know, pretty much a Stephen King stand-in, and then things really started to click.
Stephen King stand-in?
Yeah, so like the kid is, you know,
essentially like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You know. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and then Dreyfus when he's older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After screening it for Stephen King, Reiner has stated that he was visibly shaking and he was unable to speak. King got up and left the room, and upon his return, he said it was the best adaptation of his work he had ever seen.
That's nice for Rob.
Yeah.
That's good.
Rob Reiner is...
Is he a good director? Like, what's he done?
This is Spinal Tap, When Harry Met Sally. Like, he has a run which includes this, of it's like...
Real 80s, like...
Yeah, 80s to early 90s is like, this is Spinal Tap, this, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men, Misery, like, there's a bunch of, like, you're like, Jesus, what a run! And then he kind of tails off and doesn't really direct.
It's weird you don't hear him talked about more in terms of
that early, that late 80s,
directors.
That late 80s, early 90s run is like kind of legendary.
Very, very prolific.
Yeah. Reiner considers his best film he ever made. Coca-Cola bought Embassy Pictures, which were the film company that were going to release it. But they decided they were not going to start production 2 days before it was supposed to go into production. Don't know why. They just said, we bought this company and we're shutting down production.
Oh, okay.
Norman Lear, who had worked with Rob Reiner on the sitcom All in the Family, which is a bit before our time, but he stepped in and stumped up $7.5 million of his own money. So basically the entire budget. He was one of the original owners of Embassy, who said he believed in Reiner so much he was willing to risk it all.
What had Reiner done up to that
Reiner
point?
Had done this is Spinal Tap,
right.
But he'd worked with Lear on as an actor on All in the Family, so they kind of had that connection.
Right.
He had that sitcom money, Norman Lear, so he's like, yeah, I'm ready to. And I don't know if you ever see at the end of Seinfeld and stuff, there's a production company called Castle Rock.
Yes, of course.
That's
him, is it?
Rob Reiner set it up. So, like, Rob Reiner, he's on the interviews for those Seinfeld DVDs.
Remember, yeah.
This film is set in the town of Castle Rock.
Oh,
so
I never even put it together. Yeah. Of course.
One last thing. Kiefer Sutherland has stated that one of the locations of the film, there was a Renaissance fair nearby. And the cast and crew attended and bought some cookies. Unfortunately, the cookies were laced with pot, and 2 hours later, the crew found Jerry O'Connell high, crying somewhere in the park.
The kid,
yeah, the tweaked out kid,
Vern,
yeah, hard to believe.
That actually blew my mind when I seen the credits. It was like Jerry O'Connell. I was like, Jerry O'Connell,
the hunky sliders guy
of Joe's apartment. That's him, right?
That's Keanu Reeves. No,
no.
No,
he wouldn't lower himself to that.
I mean, it was 90s, early 90s.
No,
I don't.
I think that was Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah,
pretty
sure. I don't have my phone on me.
Pretty sure.
Jerry O'Connell.
I think I know.
Sliders. Jerry O'Connell of Tomcats, then we'll say.
Okay.
Or
sure.
Scream 2, even.
Well, yeah.
Scream 2
was
his peak.
Guy. More of an MTV movies man. You know. Guys,
who are you looking at? All right, Andy. I'm picking up some vibes off you. Let's rip off the band-aid.
Now, cards on the table.
Yeah.
I thought I was picking Lost Boys, okay? All right? So I'm just going to rip that band-aid off now. I thought I was picking Lost Boys.
Corey Feldman and Kiefer Sutherland are both in Lost Boys. Yeah.
I thought it was a thing. I thought that was it.
You're like, when are they getting to the vampires?
They don't look like vampires.
They're out in the sun constantly.
So we'll take it over that. I thought it was a bit shit, actually.
Whoa!
To be honest with you, it's interesting that you said that you thought it had no direction and then said he fixed it, because the best way to articulate it is I didn't enjoy watching it. Mm. You know what I mean? I was kind of like, is this for kids? Is this for adults? Is it like,
it's certainly a four quadranter in that. It's for kids, it's for adults, it's for grandparents, you know.
Yeah, okay. For men. It's all rated though, isn't it?
I don't know, but like...
The bad F word.
But different times.
I'm pretty sure it's all rated.
I remember seeing this when I was like 10. You know what I mean? Like,
you could see it.
This is something you would show to kids. This is something you, your dad, your granddad, and your mom.
Family-ish movie. I just kind of thought it was a little bit too heavy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I knew it wasn't like a comedy. I knew it was kind of like a coming of age drama, I guess. Drama comedy.
I mean, I will tell you, when I looked up the 100-minute movie thing, like every list, this is on it.
That's why I picked
it. And I purposely did not pick it because I was like, I'm not a huge fan of
it. I wanted to ask you, like, what did you think of the movie?
I hadn't seen it in a few years. I hadn't seen it in a few years, and I liked it. I liked it fine. But there's a reason why I didn't have it on the shortlist. Right. You know what I mean?
I was disappointed by it. You know what? I think The Goonies is a different movie altogether. Mm. I think The Goonies is a far more enjoyable movie.
Yeah, it depends what you're looking for.
I'm looking for a movie that I'll enjoy.
Yeah. This is enjoyable. There's bits in this where I'm like...
Barring some big scenes... Like, the train scene was very good. There's some of the conversations are very good. I can see where Good Will Hunting got that, you staying here is this sort of stuff. I thought that was, I was like, oh, that's where,
you're doing the DiCaprio.
But all in all, I was kind of a bit like, it felt long. It felt fucking long.
I don't think it feels long at all. I think it zips along. But you're right in that, like, it is what it is, like, you know.
It's just a bit too much, you know what I mean? And also not enough at all.
I mean, I think the kids are phenomenal.
I think the kids are fine. The kids are good. The kids are good.
And the River, some are better. River Phoenix, you're like, holy shit.
Do you know what? I really wish I knew that was River Phoenix before I watched it.
All right.
So I could kind of keep an eye out for like, oh,
he's fantastic.
That's that kid. That's that guy.
He's the breakout. Like,
yeah. You know? And he was the best actor. Like, Corey Feldman. The best actor, full stop, in the movie. And I thought Corey Feldman, he's
pretty good.
I always kind of enjoy, he just seeing his face and voice kind of takes me back to like being a kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because I've seen a lot of stuff.
You got Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Let me ask you, you're a big Family Guy guy. When you were watching it, were you thinking of the Family Guy episode?
100%. 100%.
No, the Stand By Me episode they do.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because they remember they do like Three Kings.
Oh, yeah.
And they do Stand By Me, they do Misery, and they do Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about it.
Because it's like, train, like, another train.
I would actually love to watch it now. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm glad that I've seen it, because it seems like a real, like, you know.
One to check off the list.
Yeah. You know, and I'm glad. If nothing else, this season, I'm loving the 90-minute season, because we've already got Glengarry Glen Ross. We've had this. I didn't particularly enjoy this one. But I'm glad I've seen it. I'm glad I've seen Glengarry Glen Ross as well.
Let's just go through a bit of the plot. So, like, you know, they're going to go find the dead body.
Yeah.
And then you have the parallel story of, like, the greasers who... I don't know who anybody else is, but Kiefer Sutherland is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, you know, like he was good, and he looked great as well.
Yeah,
I have to say,
he gives off this kind of like, I almost like laughed when like you first see him, and then as it goes along, you're like, oh yeah, like, you know, he kind of like just
kind of pulls it off.
Yeah, it grows on you. Like the fact that he's wearing that kind of like Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Know? Like there's ridiculous bits in it where he's like, they're driving along side by side, the two guys in the car. Yeah. And it's like the lorry of it's full of like wood. It's like, so you're just not going to, like,
yeah, he's just gonna stay there. It's like, wow, it's crazy. Like,
I did like the aesthetic of them like driving there with their bottles in their hands or whatever they
have. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, oh, the '50s. And literally like
I have to say I loved the music.
Soundtrack, yeah.
The soundtrack. Like every song that was played on that.
I was thinking of you when they were playing.
Like, I was like, I've already got on a playlist that I've
doo-wop.
My doo-wop playlist. And I'm like, oh yes, they've given me everything there here. So part, I loved the music.
There was a part in it where it was like they're playing Lollipop.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the boys and it's like Vern and Feldman are like dancing and singing along to it and the music is playing and I was like, wow. Oh, I love it. They've like broke the reality of the movie for it because they turn to the camera and go, lollipop, boom.
Oh, yeah,
and then I was like, oh, great. Like, that's so cool that they kind of like, because then the music is gone. And then I realized like, oh, no, they have a radio with them because later on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, oh, actually would have been cooler if it had just been like, we're going to do like a musical thing for like.
I would have been the exact opposite. I would have been like, there better be a radio there because all of a sudden we're supposed to believe, like, you know, that takes me right out of it when they do things like that.
It's cool. Like, it's nice to do it every once in a while. Like, you
know? I mean, I don't know. If that was me, I probably would have been a bit like, the fuck? You know?
Why are you so grouchy when it comes to watching movies?
I just want to know where I stand with the movie.
Just let it go, man. No. Just go with it. Like,
be like a dog with his head out the window.
Be like Meryl Streep on that raft in the River Wild. You can't control it. Just go with it.
Obscure reference. Well,
I don't know why. We were talking about it the other day and, you know. It's a great movie.
I do remember liking it, yeah.
And they remade it recently.
Yeah, and it was shit.
They remade it with like Adam Brody,
yeah,
and Taron Killam. I don't know who the girl. One of the girls from Gossip Girl, maybe. And I'm like, you're dropping from Kevin Bacon and Meryl Streep and David Strathairn to like, these crumbums.
You've got a green light for a movie. You've got a budget. Like, just make another movie. Like, what? That movie didn't need to be remade. We're doing
River Wild.
Like, a remake. Like, okay. I tell you one thing I noticed. Vern looked. Tony looked exactly like that when he was 12, and I mean literally identical to Vern in that movie. I couldn't believe it. You
telling me he's going to look like Jerry O'Connell in a few years
if he's lucky?
Yeah, we can all dream.
But I was struck by that straight away. I was like, holy shit, he's very good.
He's very good in that.
Yeah, he was good. But what I have here was it's a little bit too heavy. Not really funny, coming-of-age drama. Not made for kids, obviously. I didn't really enjoy it, bar watching some big memorable scenes like the train on the bridge and the guns.
I mean, that looks great. Just even the location of
looked brilliant.
Them crossing. And I love that, the idea of like this train track which you don't see anymore over a chasm.
Yeah.
You know, like brilliant. Real in the middle of nowhere.
And the scenery and the cinematography and all that, like it looked like a good movie.
Mm. And it does get a bit maudlin at times, and like just, John Cusack actually is very good in it.
Yeah,
he's for like good. The two scenes he's in or whatever. Yeah. Like, the dad. I love the fucking dad, your man's dad. Just like sad sack Sarah puss. Like,
just the worst.
He's like, like, you can't be thinking about your mother or a girl or your brother. It's football. Football, football, football. I don't want to hear anybody talking about anything else. Not even those potatoes.
I kind of thought like the parents were a little bit too...
And they're cartoony almost.
One-dimensional.
Like, yeah.
The
mom's like, I'm the forgotten child.
Like he's calling out the window, Mom, she's just hanging out, hanging like, up the laundry.
He's like raking really slowly. Like,
hello? Is he a ghost? Yeah.
I want to talk about it just briefly before we go. When he's telling the story.
Yeah, that was good.
Pretty good, right? Really like Lardass actually. And like, just like, now, Lardass, I mean. Or like your man tripping him up. He's like, you better not think about winning, Lardass. Just so cartoony.
Like. Yeah, some of it was. But I love, like, that part I actually loved. And the kids are all like transfixed on the story, and it's such a kid story.
Like, it's good. I think it's a good movie.
Mm.
Not my favorite. Not my favorite Reiner at all. I can see like watching it when I'm younger. I always was like, "This is brilliant! Oh my god, they're just like me."
Yeah.
And now I'm like thinking about
also
it.
Kids.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm thinking about it and being like, "They're gone for 2 days. Where are their parents?"
Yeah. Like, and they just go back home. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Do, do, do.
This is one that I kind of had a feeling going in. I was like, I think if I'd have seen this when I was like 10.
You would have more.
I'd
it's
have
like The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Like, ostensibly, it's a better movie than The Sandlot. But you like The Sandlot way more.
I still think, even if I've seen both movies now, like fresh, I would prefer The Sandlot.
What?
It's a great movie. What's your problem with The Sandlot? It's a classic.
And you might as well throw the big green in there while you're at it.
A better movie than this?
Yeah.
I'm going on record as to say The Big Green, which is one of the worst ones of the Disney sports movies. The Big Green is a better movie than Stand By Me. You know what? It isn't.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't even mean that.
There we go.
But there's some seriously, I mean, D2 of the Mighty Ducks is a better movie than this.
Is that your favourite Mighty Ducks?
Probably. I don't know, actually.
I think it is.
I think probably objectively it's a worse movie than Champions, as I like to call it, because that's what it's called.
Nowadays,
it was always Champions. Now they call it the Mighty Ducks.
I think it's gone the other
way.
In
our day, it was called Champions.
I don't ever remember being called Champions.
I swear.
It was called the Mighty Ducks when we watched
it. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I'm telling you.
Where were you getting your... And don't say video scene.
Video scene.
Don't do
we
any
had
videos.
The same video store.
I
remember. Because I remember thinking, like, why is it called Champions?
I hadn't seen it called Champions in years until it showed up on Netflix. And I'm like, Champions? That's the Mighty Ducks, like...
Why do they do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Two has the better villain.
Yeah.
Ostensibly.
Like, yeah. It was, great movies. But anyway, I felt like this one, I mean, I don't know who would watch this movie and then think, oh, I'd love to watch that again sometime. You know what I mean?
Now. Yeah, but it's kind of one that you watch, like you say, you watch it when you're young.
Yeah.
Like, it's on Channel 4. Ooh, great. It's a good sit. And then, like, I was watching it yesterday with Faye.
She
walked in and she was like, oh, yeah, this movie. And, like, hung around for, like, 20 minutes and then was like, okay, yeah. I gotta go. But it was like... She was
get
like,
your nostalgia fix.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, it's shit. That's what happened in her head. She's like, oh, I remember this. I also remember it's shit.
I've got stuff to do. The thing with the leeches is pretty good. Pretty fucking gross.
There were some good scenes.
I always, whenever I see a leech, I always think of that Jackass 2. Where he puts a leech on his eyeball, Steve-O. Yeah. He's like,
even thinking about it just makes me close my eyes.
Yeah. Let's do the awards real quick then. Harris.
Ed Harris, best actor.
Acting, achievement in acting.
River Phoenix, probably. He was the best actor, full stop, in the movie, and he was only what 15 at the time.
Yeah, I think River Phoenix. Best line reading. The Daniel Plainview Award for Best Line Reading.
I don't know, really.
nothing stood out to you.
Nothing's coming out as a standout line. I liked the scene where River Phoenix is talking to Will Wheaton, and he's telling him of, like, you know, he's going to go off and do his thing and don't stay here and let us bring you down, all that.
Yeah.
Also, River Phoenix's character, it's like when your man's writing it at the end, it's like, he was in line with two guys who were arguing. He tried to break it up. He was stabbed in the throat and died instantly. I'm like, what? Like, could you not have just left that out and just be like, he was killed in a bar fight? Like, stabbed in the throat.
That's what makes him such a great writer.
So stupid.
His imagery.
It's like, when that came up. But anyway.
My favorite line in it was Kiefer Sutherland, where he's like, they're like, we're not going or whatever. And he's like, I hear your arguments. Or my argument is, get the fuck in the car.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. Yeah, I'm getting in.
Actually, maybe line reading would be the very end, where he's like, I don't think I've had friends like I did when I was 12. Jesus, did any of us? Or whatever the line is.
Good.
That was a good line.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Give us your rating then.
I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Some good, some memorable good scenes. Glad I watched it, but overall, I'd say I didn't enjoy it.
So lowest so far in the miniseries.
Yes, 100%.
I'm going to give this an 8.
Ooh, scathing. Worse than my 6, really, by our metrics. This is like me giving it a 4.
It's an 8. It's a 4-star.
Okay.
It's a 4-star movie.
Letterbox it, you son of a bitch?
Not yet. I don't letterbox it ahead of time.
Oh,
just in case. Now I'll letterbox it on the way home.
Like ahead of the pod?
Yeah.
In case someone is so dying to know.
I should really wait till like Tuesday. To
I think you're good. You know you loved it. You love them all.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't love them all.
Scathing. Yeah. 8 out of 10.
Okay, so you got our plugs in.
Please.
Okay. Where can they find us online, Andy?
What's so great about pod on Instagram? You can find us there, not engage with us there. And, also Twitter at WSGAPod. You want engagement? Forget about it there, because you never get engagement there.
I don't think anybody gets engagement on Twitter.
No one engages anyone anymore.
Look, if you're just looking at the clips, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just watch them.
Is it?
Yeah. You know? For me, you're way more hung up in this stuff
than I put a lot of time into it, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Well. The least you motherfuckers can do is like or comment on the clip. Okay, if you're a fan of the show, give me something, please. Oh, sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
I should have done this at the start of the episode. I owe one of our valuable patrons a sincere apology. I called out a patron last
week. Say it again in a dog voice.
I called out a patron for going on a cheaper tier, and he actually came back and was apologetic and actually made the difference, which I now felt bad about.
Yeah, you should.
So I felt like such a prick. So I'm gonna say his name again. Adam, I apologize. And I tell you, the rest of you out there could do a lot.
Be more like Adam.
So apologies, Adam, and welcome aboard. And hey, we don't berate all our patrons, of course. If you do want to subscribe, how can they?
Patreon, you can find us over there behind the paywall for the low fee of €5 a month. You get access to all our back catalogs of our first mini series when we're doing them over there. We've got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. We also got a bunch of one-off episodes, such as Our Perfect Day, Our Dream Festival. We've got a bunch of top fives, you know, top five album openers, which is a great one. Top five needle drops in movies, top five movie soundtracks,
and so on.
Also, some bespoke playlists myself and Andy used to make for each other.
You get about 100 extra episodes right off the bat.
Yeah.
And we're recording a new top five episode after this. Top five TV show theme tunes.
Hell yeah. So this is going to be a doozy.
If you want to get our take on that, just sign up at the required price, which is only a fiver a month.
It's a fiver.
You know, if you met us in person, would you buy us a pint to share between us each month? Because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Terry would drink it. I can't drink pints. But
yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. A pint, it's not even a pint.
Not even.
Yeah.
You know, this
pint,
is it.
A pint in Wicklow, maybe. Not a pint in Dublin.
No.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Bought a pint. Oh, yeah. I was with you. £8.
Yeah.
£8.
I have to say it was absolutely delicious, though.
It wasn't even a pint. It was a bottle of ginger beer.
And I don't even like... And all this fancy beer, I'm more of a Corona man, of course.
Yeah.
Pissman. But that was delicious.
Yeah. Anyway. Fucking better me for £8.
Better be the best beer I ever had in my life.
Next week, we're just going to do it, Andy. We're going to...
What are we doing?
We're tearing off the Band-Aid.
No.
Yes.
No, Terry, please.
Yes! We're doing much anticipated...
No one's anticipating it. Absolutely no one is anticipating it. But go on.
You were never really here. The
Just like our listeners won't be.
It's the Joaquin Phoenix masterpiece, guys.
You see River, now see Joaquin.
Exactly, yeah, perfect. Symmetry, intergorsion. Go watch this movie. It's, again, 89 minutes. And it's... Here's the synopsis. What if... Liam Neeson from Taken was a real person and had to live with the atrocities that he has committed.
Doesn't that sound fun?
It's going to be a doozy.
It will. It'll be good for the reactions alone. So tune in.
You're going to like it. I know you are.
All right. See you next week.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And all stand by me, oh, stand now.